paper-wise, grab 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, there's a difference between being young and old. There's a difference between thinking you're young and thinking you're old. And there's a difference between a lot of different things. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to look at verse number 13. Verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. Well, there's a difference between men and women. Women are typically more relational. Men are typically more interested in significance, where women are more typically interested in security. We joke about it. We'll say women are more like spaghetti and men are more like waffles. And there's a difference between first class and coach. Can I get an amen? Huh? United was boasting 4 more inches of leg room. It's not the leg room I have a problem with. It's seat room. You ever feel like a canned ham? You know what I mean? You're like, hey, you got a can opener? Can you get me out of here? But there is a difference in life. There's a difference. Listen up. Listen up. There is a difference between professing Christ and actually possessing Christ. I want to tell you a story. There were 3 men that were working just whatever they could do, day labor outside of a freight yard. And they were, we used to call them hobos or vagabonds when I was a kid. I know those are words y'all don't use. But one guy would look and said, man, I wish I had $1 million. And the other guy said, oh, I hope I could get $2 million. And the third guy said, man, I hope I can get $10 million. But between the 3 of them, the total combined assets of these 3 men were about 43 cents. On that same exact day, men met in a boardroom in a New York bank. And one got up and said, if we're going to do something for the economy, we need to build a new chemical plant. So Mr. DuPont said, I'll give $15 million. Mr. Rockefeller agreed, said he'd do the same. Mr. Ford and Mr. Mellon, they nodded their head and said, we'll do the same. And the secretary looked at him and said, sirs, do you really have that kind of money? Or you just hope you can do that? And they all 4 said, no, we know we can do that. We can give 15. We know it. There is a difference between people who say, I hope I know the Lord is my Savior. I hope I'm going to heaven. And those who actually know they have it and are going to heaven. There is a difference between possessing Christ and just professing Christ. I was out today, knocked on a door, just walked up to a lady and started to talk to her about it. And just, you know, just wow, the way the devil just shuts them down. If you'll talk to somebody who's in a cult, the minute you start to question their basis of their theology, their eyes blink like they shake because the devil's brainwashed them. People have brainwashed them and they think they're going to heaven. They think they are serving God, but they don't possess Jesus Christ. There's a difference. As I said, I got a call today from somebody who's just, you know, their intelligent level is off the chart. They're wealthy. They've got just all kinds of things, but they don't have Christ. They hope they're going to heaven. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13. There is a difference between ignorance and knowing. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant. That means unknowledgeable, not knowing, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. When it comes to knowing Christ as your Savior, if you possess Christ, you have a hope that's beyond this life. Yesterday, Mrs. Mix and I, or 2 days ago on Monday, Mrs. Mix and I made a visit. A young man, 20-year-old man, had died. And we were sitting on the couch speaking with his dear mother and his brother, who's 24 years old. And we were talking about, well, he's a good person. Did he know the Lord as his Savior? Well, he'd gone to church. What did he... Did he remember a time when he received the Lord as his Savior? Did he repented of his sin and turned? Well, he got baptized. When? When he was 8. Tell me about it. What happened? Well, I got baptized the same day. What happened? Did the preacher talk to you? He sit you down and explain to you you're a sinner and you need a Savior? Well, I hope he has Christ. There's a difference between possessing and just professing. There's a difference between ignorance and knowing. Someone said to me months ago, almost a year ago, I don't think you can really know until you die. The Bible says that you can know now. You can know right now. And I said to them, is this something you really want to take a chance on? When the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. In 2 Timothy 3:7, this verse really jumped out at me today again as I was studying for this. And it says, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're so earthly, they're so intelligent, they have no common sense. When a 7-year-old, 8-year-old child can realize he's a sinner, realize that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that through him he would be saved. And it's not hard math for him to go, you know what? I'm a sinner, deserving of punishment, but I need a Savior. Please save me. There's a difference between ignorance and knowing. Have you ever met somebody who died, maybe went to hell and came back and had a chance, or went into the afterlife and had a chance to talk about it? Have you ever met someone? I've heard their testimony. I have too. But you know, I've heard the testimony of Jesus who died and came back and told me what it was like. I got to read the testimony of John the Revelator who got to see beyond this life. Job knew what it was like. In Job 19, he said, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Job knew what the afterlife was. Paul knew. Paul talked about how he knew a man who'd been ascended to the third heaven. We know that was him when he was stoned and left for dead. But Paul said something to Timothy in his last letter that has stuck with me my entire life. 2 Timothy 1:12. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I can't speak for anybody else. I can't speak for what your hope and your trust is in, but I know who my trust is in. And I am persuaded. That means my heart has been irrevocably, profoundly changed. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Today, that person I was talking to that's so too smart for Christ took a 3-month leave of absence from their job, cashed out their savings, got on a plane, and flew to Thailand to find himself. To find himself. Really. You know, I'm kind of like, okay, Thailand. I mean, it's just as good a place as any, but I mean, to find yourself? You know, if you possess Jesus Christ, then you know who you are. And you know what you are. And you know what your purpose is. I just took some quick notes. Because I don't need to find myself. Christ has already found me. Do you know who you are? Do you know what your identity is in Jesus Christ? So many of the young people today don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how they got here. And they're thinking to themselves, I have to find myself. Listen, Jesus is already hunting you down. And if he found you, he can tell you who you exactly are. Do you realize I'm forgiven and redeemed? I know who I am. I don't need to go someplace far away to find myself. Christ found me. I am God's child, John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you possess Jesus Christ, you are the child of God. You are the son or daughter of a king. You don't need to go somewhere to find yourself. You are a princess. You are a prince. You are the child of the king. I know who I am. So much of my, people say, well, preacher, you know, this is you. No, this is every Christian is supposed to recognize who they are in Christ. If you possess Christ, then you're a child of the King. You're also God's temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwell in you? Do you realize, you know, you are a friend of God? In John 15, 15, he says, henceforth I call thee not, you not servants, for the servants know not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Do you really need to go find yourself somewhere? If you possess Jesus Christ, God has already found you. And you should know who you are. You've been justified freely by his grace. You are complete. in Christ. Complete in Christ. As I said Sunday night, marriage is never going to fulfill you like Christ will. Career is never going to fulfill you like Christ will. Money is never going to fulfill you like Christ will. New vehicles are nice, but they're never going to fulfill you like Christ will. Do you really think you need to go find yourself? You need something drastic like that, really? Do you not know Christ? Or do you hope you know Christ? Because there's a difference. I know who I am. And it's not because I'm a pastor, but it's because I'm a Christian. I'm God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and He doesn't make junk. He made you the way you are on purpose. I'm united with the Lord, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I'm joined with Him. I know who I am. I'm bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6. I'm hidden inside of Christ, Colossians 3:3. I am a saint set apart for God's use, 1 Corinthians 1:2. I'm sanctified in Jesus Christ. And as much as I tried to plead with this person about, you know, there's no answers in Thailand that you cannot find here. There's no answers there any more than there are here. Do you not know who you are? Do you not know what you are? I've been adopted into God's family. I'm now a full heir with Jesus Christ, and so are you. I'm a personal witness for Christ. I work with Christ. I'm a co-laborer. I'm salt and light. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm free from condemnation forever because I am Christ's. I'm a citizen of heaven. That means I matter and I'm significant. That means you matter and you are significant because of whose you are. I am free from any charges against me because there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit. I'm a minister of reconciliation. I'm seated in heavenly places. I cannot be separated from the love of God. Do you know who you are? Amen. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you are? You're established. You're anointed. You're sealed. You are assured that all things are going to work together for good because you love God. You've been chosen to bear fruit. You have been chosen to have access with freedom and confidence to God's throne. You have the ability to do all things through Christ. You are the branch that's connected to the vine. Do you know who you are? See, there's a difference between just professing Christ. There's a difference between knowing and ignorant. Do you know who you are? And how has that changed you? Has it made a difference? You know, you think to yourself, what would it be like to be one of the royals? Huh? To have the big wedding, to live at Buckingham Palace. What would that be like? To be under a microscope and everyone see you. And everyone holds you to a standard of etiquette and decorum because you belong to a royal family. Brothers and sisters, you belong to a royal family now. You will not belong to the family when you get to heaven. You belong to that royal family now. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is King of Kings. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? You're a son or a daughter of the King. You don't need to find yourself. If you possess Christ, Christ already found you. Jesus said that we're His. You know, there's also a difference between having hope and no hope in the future. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Our hope is the great return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. That's our hope. That's what we're looking for. I am possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Do you remember that song? Since Jesus came into my heart. But because we know the truth and we have accepted it, do you understand? Accept Christ. We now not only have a belief, but we have a hope. Look at verse 14. For if we believe, If we believe the gospel is that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe? Then you are possessed of a hope. Because of the knowledge that you believe, you now have a hope that is beyond this world. And there's a difference, but just like there's a difference between the rapture and the return of Christ, there is a difference between having hope and having knowledge and belief. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. There is also a difference between being and just doing. Now, as we were reading in, I'll go back to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 through 58, God gives us a little bit more detail about the rapture and what's coming. But he says in verse 58 that our knowledge, that our hope should cause this effect in our life. The fact that I know who I am, that I know who I belong to, and I know what my purpose is because of who I belong to. Verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. The fact that you're a child of God never changes. Your good days, your bad days. The days when things don't go right. I got a call from another brother last night. When it rains, it pours, literally. Last night, he got in a car wreck. He wasn't hurt, but he wrecked the company vehicle. And he had to stand outside and wait for the other guy to come with another vehicle to offload what he had. And then he had to make the delivery. And when he got back to the terminal that night, he locked his keys in his trunk. And everybody had left the office, and he's standing out in the rain. And it just opened up as he was calling me. And I could hear it hitting the car. He had no place to stand. He's just standing there getting wet. You know, and I had to remind him, your position in Christ doesn't change when you're having the worst day of your life. It's no worse than it was the day on your best day. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Stand there. Take it. Steadfast. Don't be movable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And when I talked to him about this, he said, you mean because I witnessed to my coworker today, this is happening to me? I said, what happened? He said, I had a coworker who believed that work saves him. And I took out those verses you text me, and it said that it's not by works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's not by works, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. It's not by works, Romans 4, 5. I showed him that today, and he said, you got to be kidding me. Why did I have never heard this? You mean I'm saved because of the grace of God only? I don't have to. Yeah. And this guy was freed that moment. He was freed from the bondage of the idea that he has to work to keep it. And they were having a rejoicing time, right? And then he gets his car wrecked, and then he stands outside in the rain and gets rained on, and he goes, so this is because I was, I called him, I said, yeah, if you're doing something for God, the devil's going to fight you. He's going to fight you. Welcome to the battle. Be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. You know, there's a difference between being salt and a salt shaker. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. You know, a shaker just means you have potential. God doesn't want you to be that cute little shaker. He wants you to be the salt that actually makes the effect in the world. He didn't call us to be a battery. He called us to be light. We are the light of the world. A flashlight. How many of you got flashlights at the house that don't work? How many flashlights do you think God's got that ain't got no power either? We're not supposed to be just flashlights. We're supposed to be the light. There's a difference. But flashlights look good and salt shakers look good. But there's a difference between being and just doing. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you are? Do you know whose you are? And do you know what purpose you serve as that? Yeah, I'd love to see the world. I'd love to see Thailand. I'd love to see Cambodia. I'd love to see the Philippines. I'd love to see Africa. I'd love to see Asia. I'd love to see it all. But you know what? The same answer I got in Dunlap, Illinois, the day I was saved, is the same answer I'll find over there. I've already been found. I've been found by Christ. Tonight, if you died and you're not sure heaven's your home because you're thinking to yourself, well, I hope. If my good works haven't paved the way, nobody can. No, it's what Jesus did that saves. It's not what we do that saves. Salvation is something that that God does to you because of what he did for you on the cross. There's a difference between professing Christ, saying you're a Christian, and actually possessing him as yours. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, tonight, if someone in here tonight is not sure of their salvation, may they have the courage to come and speak with us and talk, and let's just settle it tonight. But Father, for each one of us, as the wind blows and the rain falls and the floods come and our lives ebb and flow with the disaster and crisis of the world, let us not forget who we actually are and whose we actually are. We have been found. We are yours. Bless us tonight as we fellowship. Strengthen us as we take the word and the message to those who have no knowledge or hope in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.